Thank you. Thank you so very much, Brother Scott. That was a beautiful song. Pianist, thank you. I appreciate all of you being here. I appreciate this camp. I appreciate Brother Doug Carter. I remember hearing that Brother Doug was no longer going to be the camp president. And I began to think about I would hate to be the person who follows Doug Carter as the camp president. But you know what I know? The Lord sent you a wonderful, wonderful man. Brother Lee is a wonderful, wonderful brother. And I appreciate him, and I appreciate getting to be here at the camp meeting. My wife asked me, I got in late last night, and she said, Benny, how's the camp going? I said, well, the preaching's been out of this world. I didn't say that. I said, it's been going great. I've certainly enjoyed being with these wonderful, wonderful people. And she said, well, tell me who's coming. I said, well, the day services are more senior citizens. I said, I'm one of the younger ones in the day service. And so I feel so good about that. But I said, I like that because I enjoy being with senior adults. I do senior adult retreats for Phil Waldrop and others in the Smoky Mountains. And so I enjoy being with senior adults. And I'm convinced there's a lot to be learned from senior adults. I'm not that far away myself. I'm 51. And I ran across this, and let me share it with you. It says, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York and said, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of marriage of misery is enough. Pop, what are you talking about? The son screamed. We can't stand the sight of each other any longer, the old man said. We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this. So you call your sister in Chicago and tell her. With that, the father hung up. Frantic, the son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. Like the devil, they're getting divorced, she shouted. I'll take care of this. The daughter called Phoenix and just started screaming at her dad. You're not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't you do a thing. Do you hear me? The daughter hung up. The old man hung up. Then he turned to his wife and said, okay, they're coming for Thanksgiving and paying their own fares this year. Now, what do we tell them to get them here for Christmas? Amen? So there's a lot of wisdom in senior adults. I heard about a guy that was 80 years old. He was out in the woods walking one day, and he picked up a frog. And it was a talking frog. And by the way, this is a true story. It was a talking frog. And that frog said to that man, if you'll kiss me, I'll become a beautiful young princess. And he stuck the frog back in his pocket, Miss Paula. And 2 hours later, he pulled that frog out, and that frog said, if you'll kiss me, I'll become a beautiful young princess. And he stuck the frog back in his pocket. And at the end of the day, he pulled the frog out, Brother Melvin, and that frog said, if you'll kiss me, I'll become a beautiful young princess. And he looked at the frog, Brother Scott, and he said, frog, I've thought about it all day. And he said, I'm 80 years old. And he said, at my age, a talking frog is more beneficial than a beautiful young princess. Amen. I want to share a couple scriptures with you. They're found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. I'll let you sit this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and verse 12. And I'll talk to you just a few minutes. And we'll go and you can have a delicious, delicious lunch. 1 Kings 19, verse 11 says this. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Let us pray. God, as I bow my head and my heart in your presence, I pray today that you would make our tongue a ready writer's pen. I ask you, Holy Spirit, right now. Holy Spirit, right now, direct me to what to say. God, Holy Spirit, help me to say the right stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. I want your direction more than I want anything else. I pray that you would give me the words. I'd just be a mouthpiece for what you want the people to hear. And I pray this prayer with a grateful heart, for I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. Folks, if you look at verse 13 or verse 12, it says, after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. A better translation would be a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. And I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about the whisper of God. The whisper of God. Brother Lease alluded to something about a hearing aid. I heard about a man who got a hearing aid. And another gentleman was talking to him about, how's your new hearing aid? He said, it's great. He said, well, what does your family think about your new hearing aid? He said, they don't know that I have them. But he said, I will tell you this. I just sat around the family functions and I listen and I've already changed my wheel three times. A gentle whisper. Now you know this story. You know what precedes this story. Elijah's on Mount Carmel. And if you've ever been to Mount Carmel, I've been many, many times. It's a beautiful mountain that overlooks the valley of Armageddon, the valley of Megiddo, where the great end time battle will take place. But there on Mount Carmel, it's where, remember, the great preacher Elijah said to those false prophets of Baal, if God be God, you follow him. But if Baal be God, you follow him. And Elijah said to those false prophets of Baal, why don't we put our God to the test? Why don't we bring a bullock? We'll place it on an offering. You call on the gods of Baal and ask the gods of Baal to respond by fire. I'll call on the true God of Israel. We'll see who the true God is. And you know the story. Early that morning, the prophets of Baal began to call on Baal to send the fire. And you read the story. Elijah said, your God must be asleep. He had a sense of humor. He said, your God must be on vacation. He had a sense of humor. Nothing happened. I've been a proponent of saying, ladies and gentlemen, we need prayer back in schools. And every time I say that, they say, but oh, Brother Benny, you've got to let the Muslims pray. They've got to bring their prayer rugs. You've got to let the Hindus pray. You've got to let them all pray. And this is the way I respond. Let them pray. Nothing's going to happen anyway. Why are we fearful of that? Nothing's going to happen anyway. But when Elijah prayed, the fire came from heaven. He was on the mountaintop, Mount Carmel. And the false prophets, as you well know, they were defeated. And he was on this spiritual high. But you know what happened? A few days later, Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. Now, the guy that could handle 850 prophets, but one woman, he could handle 850 prophets, but one woman got him under a juniper tree. And if you've ever seen a juniper tree, they're very, very small. One woman got him under a juniper tree, literally praying that he would die. He was saying, I'm the only one that's really preaching the gospel. But God says to Elijah, Elijah, I want you to go to a place, Mount Horeb, Sinai, the place where the burning bush appeared to Moses. I want you to go to a place there in the cleft of the rock. And Elijah goes to that place. And the Bible says there's a strong wind, but God's not in the wind. There's an earthquake, but God's not in the earthquake. But then there's a gentle whisper. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what God was saying to Elijah. Elijah, you've been up and down. You've had the wind and the fire. You've been guided by your emotions. And certainly God is in our emotions. But you can't be guided by your emotions. You've got to be guided by the whisper of God. You've got to be guided by the whisper of God. Now here's what I know. James 5 and 17 says Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. Elijah was a lot like us. And we're a lot like Elijah. And God is saying to us, you've got to be guided by the voice of God. You've got to be guided by the whisper of God. Now folks, I love the Bible. But the Bible is not going to say to you, go to Asbury and not Ohio Christian University. The Bible's not going to say to you, go to work at Delta Airlines and not Carrier. The Bible's not going to say to you, go to Mexico and not Guatemala. We get the general will of God from the Bible. But we get the specific will of God from the Spirit of God. We get the specific will of God, ladies and gentlemen, from the voice of God. God's not going to say, don't go to the University of Florida. Well, He might. He'd probably say, go to the University of Tennessee. I'm just kidding. I just love college football. Last year during football season, my wife said to me, Benny, do you love me more than football? I said, college or pro? But here's what I know. Here's what I know. We need, ladies and gentlemen, to hear the whisper of God. This is what I know in my life. I need to hear the whisper of God. God showed me something. Fred, you do a great job running the sound. You're a good man. You were a good pastor. I can't whisper to Fred. He's at the back of the tabernacle. Perhaps I'd like to, but he's too far away. See, if you're going to whisper to somebody, you got to get close. And ladies and gentlemen, if God's going to whisper to me, and God's going to whisper to you, Brother Case, we got to get close to Him. And Vance Havner said it best. He said the only way to get more of God is to give God more of you. And James 4 and 8 said, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Now here's what I've reached. I've reached quickly, and I'll get into the message. I believe there's four levels of relationships. There's a casual level. When I got here with Lee and Paula, it was just a casual level. We barely know each other. But then the next level is the connected level. That is, perhaps both of you work at the same place. But then there's the cordial level. Maybe you're friends and you have dinner and you talk about surface things. But then there's the close level. That's where you trust and you share your heart. With God, there's four levels of relationship. There's the casual. You believe in God, but you just say live and let live. Then there's the connected level. You come to church, but once you leave church, it's really over. Then there's the cordial level. You have a Bible and you read it a little. But then there's the close level. And the close level is when you really want to know God. Now I want to share my heart with you. Confession's good for the soul. When I was 30 years old, I wanted to be a great preacher. I wanted to be a great preacher. I didn't hit that mark. When I was 40 years old, I wanted to build a great church. I wanted to build a great church. But when I became 50 years old, I want to know God. I want to know God. And my heart, ladies and gentlemen, is to know God. And my heart is not only to talk to God, but my heart is for God to speak to me. Because I'm dealing with situations right now, ladies and gentlemen, where I need the whisper of God. I need the voice of God. Now let me give you three quick things. If you want to know God, that you've got to have. First of all, if you want to know God, you got to give Him time. Adrian Rogers said, God doesn't have favorites, but God does have intimates. God doesn't have favorites, but He does have intimates. And if we're going to get to know God, ladies and gentlemen, we got to give Him time. Most people never think about Mark chapter 3, verse 14. This is what it says. He ordained the 12 that they might be with Him. And then He sent them forth to preach. He sent them forth to cast out devils. He sent them forth to do ministry. And ladies and gentlemen, if God's going to whisper to us every day, we got to give Him time. Because if the devil can't make you bad, He'll make you busy. He'll get you so caught up. See, it's no problem to choose between good and bad things. But it's hard to choose between the good and the best things. And for everything that you say yes to, you say no to something else. For everything you say yes to, you say no to something else. And sometimes we get so caught up in things, we're saying no to God. David, I've often thought about King David, the most powerful man in the world, said in Psalms 5 and 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." Jesus, the weight of the world on him, said in Mark 1 and 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there prayed." I want you to know something. I'm honored to get to preach to you today. I'm honored to get to worship with you today. But long before I worshiped with you, I spent time with the Lord. Because God can't do anything through us if he's not doing something in us. I researched 600 leaders, ladies and gentlemen. 600 leaders who fail morally. 600 leaders. I talked to a leader on the way here. A man in the ministry who walked off and left his family. I talked to him as I drove here. I talked to his wife, rather. 600 leaders, Brother Lee, that had left the ministry, had fallen morally. They had three commonalities. Three commonalities. Number one, they never thought it would happen to them. Number two, they weren't accountable to anybody. And number three, they weren't in private devotion. They weren't in private devotion. I got up one morning to rush into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me. Heavier came each task. "Why doesn't God help me?" He replied, "You didn't ask." "I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day tore on gray and bleak. Why doesn't God help me?" He replied, "You didn't seek." "I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock." But God gently and lovingly chided, "Oh, my child, you didn't knock." I got up this morning. I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. Let me tell you something. If God's going to whisper to Benny Tate, if God's going to whisper to you, we got to give him time. If God's going to whisper to us, folks, I don't mean it in the wrong way, but if God's going to whisper to us, we got to give him time. I don't mean it. I can't be close to my wife if the only time I see her is on Sunday. And for you that are in ministry, I'm not some expert, but I've done it for 35 years. And this is what I've learned. If you give the Redeemer your time, the Redeemer will redeem your time. If you give the Redeemer your time, the Redeemer will redeem your time. And friend, if we don't have time to get along with God, we're too busy. So if we're going to hear the gentle whisper of God, if you want to know God, you're going to have to give him time. I'll tell you something else you need. And I don't know, I mean, folks, this is probably the smallest crowd since I've been here. But God's here. I'm telling you, the Lord is speaking today. I don't know who he's speaking to, but I know the Lord is speaking today. And if you're going to get to know God, you got to give him time. Let me tell you something else. If you're going to know God, you got to have some tools. You got to have some tools. You say, what are you talking about? Let me give you the tools you need if you're going to really get to know God. First of all, folks, you need a place. Let me explain. When Peter and the guys came to arrest Jesus, Miss Winnie, they knew where he was. He's got a place of prayer. All we got to do is go to Gethsemane. That's where he goes to pray. See, folks, there's a wonderful message there. We need a place. You need a place where you meet with the Lord every day. But not only do you need a place, you need a pad. You see, what are you talking about, a pad? I'm talking about because God's going to speak to you. So you need a pad to write it down. Somebody said, Brother Benny, where do you come up with all the stuff? The Bennyisms. Where do you come up with all this? This is where I come up with. If you're going to quote right, you've got to note right. If you're going to quote right, you've got to note right. And a short pencil is better than a long memory. And God's going to speak to you. So you need a place, you need a pad, you need a pen, you need a prayer list, and you need a plan to read the Bible. When I have my devotion time, what do you do first, Brother Benny? I'll tell you what I always do first. I always read the Word. You say before you pray, I always read the Word. You say, why do you read the Word first? Don't you think He ought to have opportunity to speak to me before I speak to Him? Don't you think He ought to have opportunity to speak to me before I speak to Him? So folks, I'm almost through. If we're going to hear the whisper of God, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some tools. But I'll tell you something else. If God's going to whisper to us, it's going to take time. It's going to take tools. But it's going to take trust. Ma'am, I enjoyed having lunch with you one day. You and your husband. If I walked up to you and just started whispering, it would startle you. Who is this man? I don't know that I trust him. I don't even know that I know him. But he's whispering in my ear. Everybody okay? This is what I've learned. God only whispers to people that he can trust. God whispers to people that he can trust. You say, well, but wait, Pastor. How do I let the Lord know that he can trust me? Well, what did he do with Elijah? He said, Elijah, I want you to do something. Go anoint 2 kings and go anoint a new prophet Elijah. He was saying, do what I'm telling you to do. We show God, we trust God, ladies and gentlemen, by obeying God and leaving the consequences to Him. How can you build a trusted relationship? By obeying God, doing what He says for you to do, and leaving the consequences to Him. This is what I say in closing. In closing, years ago, a little girl stayed all night with Savannah Abigail, my daughter. And I was preaching in a big way on Sunday. And I said, in closing, and that little girl had never been to church, and she said to Savannah Abigail, what does it mean when your daddy says in closing? And Savannah, just a little bitty girl, Matt, said, absolutely nothing. But in closing, I mean this, folks. I need the Lord to whisper to me. You can pray for me. Because I've got some situations going on right now. I've got some situations. I've got some decisions. I don't mean it. I've got some major decisions on me. And folks, it's not always just crystal clear in the Bible. I need to hear from God. Do you need to hear from God? How many of you need to hear from God? Sure we do. We need to hear from God. Brother Scott, we need that gentle whisper. We need Him to show us. We need Him to direct us. We're not qualified to do it on our own. We got to give Him our time. Got to give Him our, take some tools. We've got to trust Him. Let me ask you one other thing as we get ready to have a little song. What if today you walked up to me and said, Brother Benny, I need to whisper something to you. And I started going... Brother Lee said, no, you must misunderstood me, Benny. I don't want all these people to hear what I'm going to say to you. And I go, finally, Brother Lee would say, Benny, if you'll just be still, I want to whisper to you. And I wonder how many times God has thought, why don't you be still and I'll let you know I'm God? Why don't you just be still and I'll let you know I'm God? Because you can't whisper to somebody, Brother Lee, if they're doing this.